It was a miracle, or so it seemed, as they huffed and puffed, complained and criticised their way through the grim, inhospitable wilderness, rocks and sand, sand and rocks. Every day, a little miracle, or so it seemed, happened for the pilgrim people. As they made their agonisingly slow journey towards the promised land, every day, the ground was covered in a layer of something. What is it? That's what they called it, manna. What is it? A white, flaky substance that appeared overnight, covering the ground like a dusting of snow. Food, bread from heaven, with the morning dew, that brought them nourishment and hope every day. Sustenance and the strength to carry on in their quest for the land that would be theirs and would flow with milk and honey. Manna, what is it? Their daily bread, precious, necessary, crucial, wonderful. God gave them each day their daily bread. And so clearly was that understood as a gift and blessing that when they did settle, when they reached what was to become their homeland, they preserved some of the what is it manna within the sacred Ark of the Covenant to remind them of their vulnerability, their daily dependence on the gracious provision of God, and the requirement that they should never forget, neither take for granted nor disdain, the little miracle that every day their bread was provided, daily bread. There was enough. It encouraged an attitude of daily trust, not a case of storing up capital so that you didn't need to depend on God anymore and you could trust in your own ingenuity. That didn't work. Each day, the unspoken prayer was that today he would give us our daily bread. That attitude of simple gratitude lies within the Lord's prayer petition, give us this day our daily bread. A recognition of our place within the natural order, our need, our dependence on the fulsome provision of the good earth and our connectedness with it. We're not above it. We can't survive without it. And the possibilities and integrity of the natural world underpin our progress and sustainability. Only a fool would work against the grain of that mutual symbiosis, that interdependence. We look after creation, it looks after us. We mess it about, exploit it or abuse us, and the risk is run that someone's daily bread might not be forthcoming. There is enough for all, enough for each, enough for everyone. We just need to make sure that nothing puts that balance at risk. Nothing creates the economic distortions that allow one-eighth of the world to monopolise seven-eighths of the world's resources, and the rest can go hang. That's not the natural order. So there is a basic issue here of trust, dependency, mutuality of entitlement to the plentiful bread. Here is a prayer we cannot say as if it were enough to ask God to give me my daily bread and ask for the others, tough banana. With arms that encompass the whole of humanity, we pray, give us all our daily bread. And that seems to imply, indeed require, that if I have more than enough bread, and my brother or sister has none, fair shares. Fair shares are rightly sought. Obligations come with the bread. Of course, the root cause of those blatant inequities lies within, in the moral sphere, in the spiritual realm, where the really influential decisions are made. And it's a strange, sad irony of our modern world that while individuals will grunt and groan their way to a perfect body, not quite so much attention is paid to the inner aspects of our being, the spirit, the soul, the character, the personality. Hours going for the burn at the gym, close attention to the requirements of the calorie-controlled diet, rigorous adherence to the exercise regime in preparation for the marathon, while other things, important things, more important things, gather dust, lie forgotten, ignored or neglected. With similar focus, concentration and application, people will seek to improve their mind, taking this educational course or that, exploring this new interest or that, learning skills, ballroom dancing, stick dressing, macrame, joining the bowling club, learning Italian, discovering about wines. But not so much about the spiritual journey, food for the soul. This is not a "why is no one listening to me" complaint. Simply a recognition of the fact that just about the last thing people do, just about the least important on their list, is in fact the most important. Food for the soul, food for the spirit. The spirit where the big choices are made. There's a little series of Bible reading notes you can get called Daily Bread. A reminder that what we actually benefit from in terms of sustenance and personal growth and being all we can be and discovering our true identity as children of God is daily spiritual bread. That enables us to make the steps, carry through the purposes. That truly brings us to our senses and our true selves. Miss out on that and we can end up being what the New Testament calls whitewashed sepulchres. Lovely on the outside, pretty unpleasant on the inside. The bit no one sees where the anger lurks and the jealousies and the silent stiletto of cruelty. Here is where the battle is fought that will determine whether the hungry are fed, the lonely embraced, the broken restored, the burnt bridges rebuilt. So taking care of that bit, nourishing and building up that bit of us, the aspect that shapes and configures all the rest, that spiritual food really matters and is readily to hand should we want it. There is no shortage. There are no rations. Truth, wisdom, words of life are there for us to savour and relish if we so wish. Soul food aplenty if we choose to take it. And it does seem strange that we don't. The rich treasure, the barns piled to the roof with truth, God's word for us to enjoy, gospel insights, guidance to satisfy our deepest longings. It's strange how often we prefer to ache with spiritual hunger, to grow gaunt for want of sustenance, when the word of the Lord is to hand and we leave it on the shelf and struggle on through the wilderness. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a wonderful illustration of the confusion that can arise. The people, initially satisfied with the practical response to their need, fail to look beyond the bread in their hands to the one who provides it. And provides food for the soul, the one who in himself is bread from heaven, the bread of life, in whose strength our spirits are nourished, and whose love and presence in our life is what energizes us for service of God, for caring for others, for living the life abundant he wants for each person.